Today, I want to talk to you on the title, Making a Splash. Making a Splash. And we've got a very nice splash coming there on the screen. I'm not quite sure I'd like to stand in front of that wave right now, but all the same, it's a powerful wave. I want to just start today by giving you a bit of Greek. Greek for geeks. And this is an important word. Today, what I'm really talking to you about is baptism. In the white on the screen, you have got the Greek word, which is translated into English, baptizo. If you just sort of translate the letters over, we would pronounce that baptizo. And it means to immerse, to submerge, to dip. Now, when I say this to you, I am not trying to get anybody's back up, and I'm not trying to be awkward, but biblically, baptism is always by immersion. We take hold of you. Jenny, would you like us to show everybody again? No. Well, Jenny was the last person we baptized, and what we do is we take a person, we get into a big tank of water, and two of us lower that person into the water. We count to 1,216, and then we pick them up again. And what we do is we just cover the person with water. We make sure that they've gone down enough so that they're covered, and then we pick them up. And that is the literal meaning of baptizo. By baptism, the Christian church historically has always meant we submerge a person in water. We believe that baptism is something you choose to undergo, not something that your parents choose for you. My children were baptized in their early teens because they got to a point where the church were convinced that they were choosing to be baptized by themselves, and that it wasn't my choice, it wasn't Pauline's choice. I was baptized at the age of 13 on the 31st of March 1973. So you can work out how old I am now. I had been asking to be baptized since I was 10, because I read the scriptures and I realized from the scriptures that I should be baptized. But only when I was 13 did the church allow it, because they had a rule: we don't baptize anybody under the age of 13. That's just an arbitrary rule. But what I am saying to you is baptism, making a splash, and believe me, some of us, when we go down hard, we do make a splash. We have to have waterproof sheets around the baptistry if we're doing it in here. I tell you, it's not so bad when we do it outside with Centimu outside the York Minster, and we do the joint baptisms. That works very well. We can wet everything. But you know, you do make a splash when you go down in the water, and we do that because it's by choice. And part of whenever we do this joint baptisms, which I have to say to you has been a phenomenal thing over the last 10 years, because it's never happened before that an Archbishop of the Church of England has got in a tank with leaders of other churches and baptized their people together. It's an incredible sign of unity. And it's something that we've done consistently. Did it for 10 years. We're having a break this year. We'll probably get back into it. But it's been a phenomenal sign to the rest of the world that the Christian church is alive and well. And, of course, we've had great publicity on the BBC and ITV and Sky TV and blah, 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 and all of them. And the very first one that we did on the Sunday... on the Monday morning after the baptisms at the weekend, that man who we know as owning Sky TV, Rupert Murdoch, great media mogul, he led a group of people in his office to discuss what had happened over the past week. And you may ask me, how do I know this? I know this because I heard it from a man who was in the office. And he said to the people, and just by the way, we showed the Archbishop of York baptizing people with leaders of other churches over the weekend on our news bulletins. And he said, if I ever become a Christian, I want to be baptized on Easter. And I want to be baptized in York. And you know, I thought that was a tremendous thing. Here was a man, a very powerful man, saying, if I become a Christian, I want to be baptized there. So, you know, a tremendously powerful thing that we do. But you know, God has got over 1 billion sons on this planet. He's got over 1 billion daughters on this planet. But he hasn't got any grandsons, and he hasn't got any granddaughters. We enter into a relationship with God of son and daughter. And this is an important concept because, you see, you can't build a relationship with God through your parents. Your relationship with God has to be your relationship with God. I think it's an important thing when we remember this. You know, tomorrow my son would have been 23 years old. And we're going to a remembrance service this afternoon for candlelighters. And it's an important thing for me to remember this. You know, he was 7 years when he went to heaven. But you know, I know he went to heaven because I know about his relationship with God. He had a personal relationship with God. And it's only a personal relationship with God that gets you in. Who knows that you can stand outside in a queue, outside a nightclub and say, I know the owner, and they still won't let you in. But if the owner is stood there and he says, hi there, they'll let you in. And the truth is, it's your relationship with God that gets you into the presence of God, not someone else's relationship. And I can only stress this to you. It's a very serious part to us of baptism. Paul talks to Timothy and he says, when you had your great public testimony, and I don't know if you've read this and wondered about it, but Paul is talking to Timothy about when he was baptized. That his baptism was a public testimony. It was like him standing in a court of law and saying, yes, I want to testify that Jesus is alive. That's exactly what Timothy did when he was baptized, because when we are all baptized, we are making a public witness to the life of God. Listen, I believe in blessing babies. You can bring me a baby a week and I'll bless them. But we bless babies, we dedicate babies, but baptism is something that you have to choose. And that's what we believe about baptism. So, baptism is part of our mission. Now, I have to say, Jenny, that I did try to get a photo of you to fit on this, and I couldn't get it to work. So that's another one that we baptized in the open air with Centimu. That's Stephen, and in case you're listening today, Stephen in Great Yarmouth, God bless you. You know, part of our mission is to baptize. Jesus said these words to us. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And if you come from a background where you only baptize in the name of Jesus, can I remind you of Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, which says baptize in the name of the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit. So what's the problem? We baptize in the name of the Godhead because it's part of our mission that Jesus gave us. Jesus gave the church this job. Go out and baptize. He only really gave us two or three serious sacramental things to do. One of them was to baptize. One of them was to break bread. And you might also say one of them was to pray for the sick. But, you know, that's really the fullness of our mission. We preach the gospel, we encourage people to follow Jesus and we do these things. So we take baptism quite seriously. It's not just a thing. I mean, there are lots of things. In churches, all the local churches have their thing. Some people might say, oh yeah, well I can see what your things are in this church. Sometimes we have things that are a bit peculiar to us. They are our local traditions. But baptism is not a local tradition. It's not even just an international tradition. It is the very words of Jesus telling us that we should baptize new believers. So, we baptize because Jesus told us to. And I want to say to you today, if you knew that Jesus was telling you now to do something, would you do it? Of course you would! And we know that Jesus has told us to do this, which is why we do it. And so we encourage people who have made a decision to be Christians to be baptized. Now, on the screen, you have got a picture of a funeral at sea. Coffin being dropped down the edge of a boat into the ocean and it's seen no more. Funerals. I've got a suit for funerals. It's not this suit. This is too bright for funerals. I've got a black tie for funerals. A lot of people these days say don't wear black, so I don't wear it. But for people that don't say something about it, I wear my black tie. Funerals are the things that wind me up the most as a pastor. I have to prepare and prepare and prepare. We had a wedding the other week and I had to prepare for that and I was a little bit wound up about it. But you know, there's nothing that winds me up more than preparation for a funeral, because I want to make sure we don't do anything wrong. You know, if you are leading a funeral and you mess up, no one will ever forget that. And it's not a matter of personal reputation. It's about the reputation of the gospel, the kingdom, the church. And it's something that personally is a problem to me. The funerals I like doing are baptismals. Because what we need to understand is that the baptismal service is actually a funeral. Now, this means that most of us in this room have been to our own funeral. And that is exactly the point of baptism. The scripture says, you died with Christ. You died with Christ. It says in Colossians 2, when you were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. If you get that sentence, that means you were buried with him in baptism, you were dropped under the water, and you were raised up with him in resurrection, you were raised from the dead. That's the picture that baptism is. You go into the ground and you come up raised from the dead. You go under the water, you come up wet, but you are in your new life. And it goes on to say in Colossians 2, and when you were dead in trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive with him and forgave us all our trespasses, our sins, our failures. You were dead in your failure, but he made you alive and forgave you. Isn't that fantastic? You know, I just think it's absolutely brilliant that God forgave us. God looked at you. Do you know what? You can't surprise God, because he already knows everything about you. And you might say, yeah, but he doesn't know this. Yes, he does. You might say, oh, but God can't possibly have kept that from everybody. God knows. And yet, the same God is prepared to forgive you. You might say, but nobody knows my secret sins. God does, and he is waiting to forgive. And the fact that when we come to Jesus, he does forgive us, we undergo baptism to indicate the fact that we were alive to sin and failure. Everything we did, we messed up, basically. But when we are buried in Christ, that is all done and dealt with. Our failure is washed away. The New Testament talks about the washing and renewal of baptism. Well, does that mean that when we baptize people, they come out clean? Well, only if they were very dirty. You know, when we baptize people, we do this because it's a symbol of the fact that there is a spiritual cleansing that's taken place. And because we are an evangelical church, a Pentecostal church, a charismatic church, whatever other adjectives you would like to throw at us, please have a go now. You know, because of that, we aren't big into saying that, you actually die to sin when we hold you under the water. Now, if we hold you under the water for too long, you will actually die, but we don't do that. But what we are saying is that this is something which has happened. You are dead to sin, and your baptism is staking a claim on that and saying, yes, Lord, I am dead to sin, and I am now alive in Jesus. And the Bible talks about the resurrection life of Christ being within you, and that Jesus, who was himself raised from the dead, now lives within you. We sang a song this morning, for me to live is Christ. And that is the life of a baptized believer. Now, you can come out with lots of things this morning and say, yes, but surely I don't have to be baptized to receive that life. Well, no. But why resist God's plan when God says, be baptized? Why resist it? When especially when Jesus himself offered himself to be baptized by John the Baptist. Jesus is not asking us to do anything he hasn't had done to himself. So this morning I want to encourage you. The scripture goes on to say that when he made us alive in baptism, he erased the certificate of debt with its obligations that was against us and opposed to us and has taken it away by nailing it to the cross. Sometimes when the post comes, I would very much like Jesus to take that bill and nail it to the cross. But as much as I do pray over my bills, and I have to say to you, I believe that's the only way I'm still stood here. But despite all of that, there was a bigger debt. A debt to God. A debt of sin. A debt of failure. A debt to the law, which is what Paul's actually talking about here. A debt to the commandments. You shall not covet your neighbour's donkey or your neighbour's wife or your neighbour's husband. You shan't covet. You shan't steal. All of those things. We were in debt to the law. And Jesus took that certificate listing our debt and nailed it to his own cross. Isn't that wonderful? That's absolutely brilliant news, because Jesus has taken away that which I couldn't afford to pay, and he has paid for it. What a wonderful job. What a wonderful blessing. Our Saviour has saved us by taking it away. You see, you can't pay the bill if you haven't got it anymore. I had a conversation with the tax man this week for the church. Once about every 5 years, they write to me and say, we would like you to fill in a self-assessment form for the church, please. And it's about, 30 lines to fill in on this and 30 boxes to tick and stuff. And I get down it, and there's only question 7 and question 23 that the church has to answer. We just have to say, we declare that all of our income is given to our charitable aims. And then we sign it and send it off. And I'm really looking forward to getting that in the post, believe me. But that is just an assessment of the fact that all of our income is used for our charitable purposes. But it's a massive certificate that you've got to fill in. And you know what? We get a receipt back to say we've filled it in, and we're off the hook again for about another 5 years until we get down on the list and we haven't written to the ARC in 5 years. We'll send them another one. And I am so I so hurt inside for you self-employed people, I really do, because the thought that I might have to fill in one of those every year would drive me to distraction. There are certificates in life. There are pieces of paper in life. There are bills in life. There are lots of things that we experience. But do you know what? Not one of them is not covered by the cross of Jesus. Your certificate that you might be arguing with now is a letter from your doctor to say, I am sorry to tell you that. It might be a prognosis or a diagnosis that you have against you. I want to tell you today, Jesus will take that if you give it to him, and he'll nail it to his cross. Do you know what? You can speak heart condition over the cross of Jesus Christ and it won't make it any worse or any better. What we don't, it's spoken over you. You with me? There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope at your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. We believe there is one baptism in water. We baptize you to follow Jesus. We baptize you to indicate that the old man is dead. And when you raise from the water, you are alive. So, baptisms are the sort of funeral where everyone throws a hat in the air. Everyone rejoices. We have a great time at baptisms because a baptism is a funeral of somebody you never want to see again. I had a situation a couple of years ago where I was supposed to go to a funeral of somebody I never, ever, ever wanted to see again. And you know what? I didn't go because I never, ever wanted to see them again. And I am so blessed. I am so blessed that I wasn't there. But you know, the one person I never want to see again is the Stephen Redman who found Jesus when he was a young man and turned his back on his sin and has been walking with Jesus all this time. I never want to see the one before that were turning round and walking with Jesus. I never want to see him again. And I went to his funeral, 31st of March, 1973. I'm never seeing him again. Are you with me? We need to understand that our baptism is our funeral. So, on the screen, you have got a Walking Dead advert. Walking Dead, if you're not familiar with it, is one of the most popular shows on TV. And it's about an apocalyptic situation where most people are zombies. And they walk around biting you and you become a zombie. There you go, that's the whole series. You don't have to watch any of the 7 series now because I've given you the plot. That's what it's all about. On the screen what you've actually got are 2 doors that are held together that hands are trying to push them apart. And it says, don't open, the dead are inside. And believe me, you don't want to see the episode where they came out. So, why am I bringing up zombies? I'm bringing up zombies because we don't want to reanimate the dead. You see, when Paul talks to us about baptism, he talks to us in the context of leaving our lives of sin. And what are we talking about, a life of sin? You know, are we talking about all being prostitutes or, you know, something that people say, oh, that's a sinful life. Are we talking about being murderers? Well, that's a sinful life. No, we're talking about the culture and life of this world. And dying to that and being born again into the culture and life of the church, being born again to walk and live with Jesus. That's what we're baptized into. We're baptized into new life. You see, the resurrection life of Christ in you can keep you from all the horrible stuff. You see, you may have habits. You may say, well, I've always done this. It's just what I do. But Jesus may well be calling you to leave that aside. And our baptism is a public confession that we are leaving that aside. Now, somebody said to me once, well, does it mean I can't go to the pub anymore? Well, I went to the pub this week, a week ago tonight, for a quiz night. And I had a lime and lemonade. And I didn't have any peanuts. I would have liked some, but no one bought me any. But, you know, the reality is it's not where you go. It's a question of who's in your heart. The question is Jesus living within you? Wherever you go, are you a testimony to the fact that Jesus is alive? To these early Christians, very often their baptism was a life and death issue. In Rome, towards the end of the first century, they would station soldiers around exits to the catacombs, because Christians would take new converts into the catacombs, baptize them underwater in the catacombs, raise them up, and then they would bring them out, and the soldiers would be there to kill them. And you can imagine the issues in the early church of how can we avoid this happening to us. But the truth was, many people chose to be baptized. Many people chose to be baptized because they would rather choose Jesus than stay where they were. Look, this morning, I am not saying, oh, you shall not go to the pub. Because what's the problem with it? You know, really. I mean, I would never go there to get drunk. What I might say to you is, the New Testament does say, don't get drunk. Because it's better that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. So that's a fair enough thing to say. But the gospel is not there to ruin your life. The gospel is not there to take away all your fun. The gospel is there to rejuvenate you, bring you into a place of greater abundance where life is fuller and brighter and better. And that's what we want. We want a full life. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and live it to the full. It does mean that there are certain behaviours that Jesus, you know, would not approve of. And Jesus is really looking for you to choose him over them. So baptism is about not continuing in sin. You know, for example, you might say, well, I have always popped a couple of pills on a Friday night. Now, I know that for some people, a couple of pills down to the rave or whatever they call it these days, and loud music for 6 or 7 hours, lots to drink, that's a good night. Come home, vomit, empty your guts everywhere. That's been a good night. You know, there is that type of idea out there. But, you know, God has much more for you, something better for you. And God is not saying today, and neither am I saying, oh, shame on you for being involved in that. No, you're missing the point. The gospel is about giving you a better life. And the gospel is about you not continuing in sin. And baptism is about that. So we get baptized, and in a sense, it draws a line between the past and the now. When I was baptized, they had a tradition of reading a promise out over people. And I can tell you my promise. It was Isaiah 54, verse 17. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Now, we don't do that in the joint baptisms with Centimu, but we do that when we baptize people here. When we've had church baptisms, we do speak a promise over their lives. We'll often allow time for prophecy as well. But what we do want you to understand is this, that baptism is something to remember. And for me, I remember this promise in my life. And do you know what? It's never failed me. I have had unbelief. If I were to tell you some of the things that have been raised up as weapons in my life, you would think I was having you on, because you would say, Stephen, it cannot possibly be that that's happened to you. But do you know what? Whenever I have raised up that promise over my life, I've said, weapon, you cannot win because God has set me free from your power. Do you know what? I've always come out of it clean and as clean and dandy. Blessed, really. So, I want you to remember that the scripture says, should we continue in sin, so that grace may multiply? Absolutely not. How can we, who died to sin, still live in it? Or are you unaware that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life. Don't tell me I know Stephen Redman and I know how he lives. No, you don't, because that Stephen Redman's dead and buried. I am a raised Christian. I have been raised in newness of life. It's no longer sin that lives within me, but Christ that lives within me. And I suppose my last point this morning is all about that. Now, on the screen, can anybody tell me what we have got on the screen? A super soaker. I knew you would get that first. And there is a man. Anybody know who the man is? Martin Luther. Martin Luther. 500 years ago this year, he nailed his 95 theses to a door and fell out with the Church of Rome. And the Reformation rolled out over Europe. Martin Luther says in his writings that in times of great spiritual conflict, he would remind the devil of his baptism. He would say, "Devil, you let go of me, you get out of my life, I am baptized." Why is the super soaker there? Well, when you're baptized, you make a splash. But rather than just always thinking of, well, baptism was something that happened once, it's done and over and done with, I have from time to time been involved in, shall we say, slight arrangements with water pistols. Times when, perhaps after a sunny day barbecuing, I have leapt out from behind a tree with a super soaker and given someone a jolt in the face. Of course, I would only do that because of the mustard running down the lips and I'm trying to wash it off for them. You understand that, don't you? But the super soaker makes a big splash. And what I want you to understand today from this lesson that Martin Luther brings to us is that when we remind the devil of our big splash, we make it bigger and bigger in his face. We remind him, "Devil, that man is dead. The man that you're reckoning you have power over, that man's dead. That woman's dead. The resurrection life of Christ is within me." And I can just imagine Martin Luther with a modern super soaker squirting the devil and saying to him, "Shut up, devil, I'm baptized." And when I first heard about this, I thought, well, that was all right for him, and, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, I actually think we ought to make more of our baptism. We ought to shove it in the devil's face. Do you know, sometimes you might wake up with whispering voices in your ear. You might wake up with a sense of all things are going wrong and stuff like that. But you know what? It's time to say in a loud voice, "Devil, I am a baptized believer. Jesus is alive in me. You cannot get me on that crack again." You can feel free to be enthusiastic. I won't get mad with you if you are. Really, it's fantastic news. We can shove our baptism in the devil's face like Martin Luther did. We can squirt that squinty-eyed devil with both barrels from our super soaker, and we can say to him, "Devil, I have been baptized. I'm a free man. I'm a free man. I'm a free man." Yeah. Have we got any free men in the room? Have we got any free women in the room? Have we got any baptized believers in the room? You know, let's use our baptism when we're fighting the devil. Let's tell him about it. You know, it's a powerful thing to be baptized. You're never going to see me sprinkling a baby. You're not going to see me fully immersing a baby. I think that would be slightly cruel. What you will see is me encouraging people through the waters of baptism and blessing them. And you know what? We lay hands on them. We speak the blessing of God over them. And if you haven't been baptized, then feel free to talk to me about it. I only probably speak on baptism once a year, and this is going to be it. So you can quite happily moulder in your chair for another year without worrying about it, because I'm not going to get on your case. But what I am saying is, if you want to be able to thrust your freedom in the devil's face and remind him of it in a powerful way, then get the super soaker I give you when you're baptized. I'll tell you what, you will be so soaked, you will always be able to squirt the devil where it hurts. So I want to encourage you today, as we conclude this message, that Christianity includes the sacrament, as it's called, of baptism, because we believe it's important to make testimony, and we believe it's important to say that I was the Stephen Redmond that everybody knew, but now I'm new. And I know that we see politicians, particularly in America, standing up and saying, "I've been born again," when they need electing. And I'm sure some of them have, but I'm also sure that some of them haven't. But it isn't about trying to impress people and get them on side with you. It's about being able to say to the devil, "Devil, I have been baptized, I'm a follower of Jesus, and whatever happens next, I'm going to follow him all the way." Would you bow your heads with me? This morning, I just want to ask you, are you sure that you have decided to follow Jesus? Because if you have, then maybe you should quietly have a word with me this week or another week and say, "Stephen, I'd like to be baptized at the next opportunity." But more than anything, I want to know for sure today that you yourself have a living, breathing relationship with Jesus. And actually, the old you is dead and the new you is alive in Jesus. If you aren't sure that you have that, if you just feel you need to make a break today and draw a line in the sand, and you want me to pray with you, then I'm not going to embarrass you, I'm not going to call you out, I'm not going to let anybody else see this, but if today you need to make that declaration that you want that relationship with Jesus, then I want you just to stick your hand up where you are and take it straight down again. I'll see, God will see, and we will know to pray. Thank you. Father, today we bless those who bless you. We bless those who choosing today to follow you. We bless you particularly. We bless particularly those who have a baptism to wave in the devil's face. And we pray that this week you will remind them of the power of that and help them to use that in spiritual warfare as they resist the devil. And Lord, today we just pray for each and every one in this room that we might all know you powerfully, solidly, and know the power of God in our daily lives to overcome the devil and to live a life that will please you. In Jesus' name, amen.